Blog Talk Radio.
Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL, episode 105. I believe we are on the air, and we are about to get started. Actually, I'm checking a few things here. Got a text message. Actually, right before I got on the air, I was on a call, so had to stall a little bit there. 646-652-4479 is the number. We are talking Atlanta Hawks basketball, obviously, so wherever you're watching or listening to the show right now on blogtalkradio.com, or of course, after the original show, if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Amazon Music, if you're listening on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, tonight is the night where we're definitely getting to talk about Atlanta Hawks basketball. Very exciting times right now. But before we get started, as usual, we want to try to give a few shout-outs to some of our fan base that is out there that listens to us on different platforms, but especially Facebook, because we're all in these Facebook groups together. We've been talking sports for a few years now. So as usual, shout out to Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, and Atlanta Bird Gang. By the way, I'm waiting for Atlanta Falcons PR person to hit me back in regards to talking to some Falcons this year. We are the G, the Savage Dogs of UGA, New Pack City, which I'm doing a Facebook Live right now. Atlanta Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves fan group, Tomahawk Talk, Atlanta FC fans, and the Atlanta Dream. By the way, the Atlanta Dream hit me up 2 days ago and told me, hey, who do you want to talk to, Chris? So be looking out for some interviews from current Atlanta Dream players in the very near future. Of course, want to shout out the Originative brand. Jamal has some great items at his store in regards to Atlanta gear, especially playoff gear. So make sure you go to his Instagram page, the Originative brand, and make sure you let him know that Around the ATL sent him or sent us or sent you, however that goes. Of course, make sure you're following on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio, Twitter, IMTM Radio. As far as the show goes, and make sure you follow my business page, IMTM Worldwide, always good to support. We are going to be waiting a little bit for our co-host to join in, so let's talk about tonight's show. Did you see the game last night? The Atlanta Hawks had one of the greatest comebacks in playoff history. It wasn't the largest by deficit on the technical side, but I believe just in the context of what the game was, where the game was at, who they were playing and everything is one of the biggest. The national media is finally showing signs of changing their narratives. If you watch Fox Sports and ESPN and TNT, they're talking different now. Of course, the Atlanta fan base is being loud and confident, and of course, the players are at another level. So tomorrow is game six, a clinching game at home. Has there ever been a more exciting time in Hawks history? That's what we're talking about. Would love to hear your feedback. Call into the show, 646-652-4479. is the number. So let's check some things here. Let's see. Well, it looks like there's a couple of people in the Facebook group. So we're going to ask them, see if they want to see who they are. And putting the number there real quick. Oh, almost hit end video by accident right there. All right, so let's get the, actually, see, trying to do an hour show at an odd time. We usually never start a show at 10:30, but here we are because of needs. But let's see if we can get the show started properly. As far as the Hawk segment goes, it's only going to be an hour show tonight, so hopefully you call in and get in where you fit in. So, and all right, I think we're ready to go. So, a lot of people, now, again, the thing with social media nowadays is that, you know, it's a human nature thing. It's your team. So, when they're not playing well and things are going bad, your nature is to iterate that, saying stuff like, man, this game is over, and they're playing bad, and kick everybody out and trade everybody. The thing is, that's great if you're saying that stuff at home or even if you're in the stands, but don't type it out because, again, the game is never over until it's over, okay? The other week I mentioned Lenny Kravitz has a whole song, It Ain't Over Till It's Over, like seriously. So, you know, even at halftime, usually what I've been doing is, okay, the team has played bad. It looks dire. It looks terrible. However, this is a second-half team sometimes, and things happen. But, again, this team has come back so much this season. It's almost as if people haven't been watching any games all year to see how many times the Hawks have come back from deficits before. Yes, it's different that it's the playoffs, you know. And, again, we're playing the number one seed. They got three defensive players, all-NBA, all this kind of stuff, and everything and everything and everything. But it's still our team, a team that we've seen do very well all year, one of the best fourth quarter teams in the NBA, right, hands down. And, again, like I've been saying all season long, I don't believe anybody beat the Hawks, not beating them four times, beating the whole team four times, right? Four times you have to beat this team. The only team that can beat the Hawks is the Hawks, and that's if they're not playing no defense, they're turning the ball over, and they're not hitting no shots. And two of those three things have to happen for another team to have a chance at beating them, operative word chance. Because guess what? Even if those things are happening, this team is still good enough to be in the game. And we have Trae Young. So for me, it's a matter of, okay, I don't really care until the game is over, but, yeah, there's some things I wasn't looking. I mean, Clint was getting killed. He was getting bullied all over the court, screaming at him. You know, you got players screaming at him, yelling at him, talking all kind of stuff, and that wasn't looking good. Red Mamba and Bogey were having the worst games ever, bar none. It was looking bad, right? And the rest of the team just looked discombobulated, right? So by the time it got to halftime, it was just like, man, we're not even going to score 60 points in this game, right? But the thing of it is that near the end of that half, they did a little bit to get the game. I think it was 22 points, I believe, at halftime. So anytime in the NBA you can get a lead where, okay, if you're getting beat by 30, but you're getting beat by 20 instead, 20 is better because 20 is not insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination. A couple of stops, a couple of threes, you're back in the game. And that's what the Hawks really did over a period of time. They started playing better defense. They started hitting a few shots. They stopped having stretches of turning the ball over, right? And slowly but surely, they started chipping away, and other players started contributing a little bit more. But one of the biggest things that happened, I'll just mention all these things until Jordan gets here, is that Nate McMillan made a decision. Hey, and this is, I'm going to say it like this. The previous regime would always complain about what his players did wrong, okay? There was never a solution from his point of view, never an accountability, never taking it upon himself to say, hey, I could have did this, or I could, never that. It was always the players. And I've always said, well, if the players are out there doing what you say you're not supposed to be doing, why do you let them be on the court? Because you're the head coach, sir, and you can take those players off the court if they're doing so bad and let some other people play the way you want them to play. Last night, we saw that. We saw two of our starters having terrible times out there get taken off the floor and put on the bench, never to be seen again. And the minutes went to Gallo and Luke, primarily. Big O has been playing, of course, his set of minutes or whatnot. But for the most part, you did not see those players again. And if you did, they weren't shooting anymore. Like Red Mamba came in and he wasn't shooting no more, was he? He was in there for specific reasons, and that was it. Because he wasn't hitting on nothing. He wasn't effective at all. And Bogey, he was just basically about to shoot us out, right? And Nate McMillan said, no, we're not going to let you shoot us out this time, Bogey. Whatever's going on, you're off. Not going to do it tonight. 646-652-4479. So then at that point, it's a matter of, okay, well, now it's a matter of the lineups. And now it's a matter of what kind of defense you're playing against certain players. Different schemes, schematic-wise, and things of that nature, and on and on and on, and we're chipping away. And all of a sudden, it's a 13-point game. And again, Philly has all the pressure in the world. They have not gotten out the second round in years now. Doc Rivers just came from another team that also wasn't really advancing to come over to this other team that wasn't really advancing. All the pressure is on Doc. All the pressure is on the process in Simmons. They've been there. Many times, right? All of a sudden, it's a 10-point game, 8-point game. All of a sudden, it's single digits. This team was down by 26, and all of a sudden, you're under 10 points. And on and on and on, and you see it. And the crazy thing about it is, after all said and done, you only had two players that was hurting us the whole game, and that was Embiid and Curry. If we had just shut down Curry a little bit, we wouldn't even have been down. Really, we couldn't stop Embiid at the beginning, fine, well, and good. But he let him get his points. That's the principle of it all. Because, again, we don't have to beat their team four times. We only have to Embiid, Curry, and sometimes Harris, which Harris wasn't even a factor, right? The other team has to beat Trey and John and Bogey and Gallo, and Lou, right? Sometimes Red Mamba, a little bit of Clint sprinkle in there. That's a lot that you have to overcome every game to win four. And I just don't think it's possible. I've said that from the beginning of the playoffs. I said Knicks in five right before the playoffs started. I said Hawks in six after we beat the Knicks, you know? And here we are. We're on the verge of keeping that prediction alive. Because I just didn't see how it was going to happen. Whatever the situation, I just didn't see it happen, you know? And again, we're doing this without Hunter. We're doing this without one of our top starters and then Cam on the side, you know? And so that's how impressive this team is. And finally, the sports networks are picking up on this now. They're finally saying, well, what? This team is actually pretty good. This, you know, Barkley was one of the first ones to say, you know, they just have better players in Philly. He said it first with the Knicks. This team has better players. This team is loaded. That's what Chuck said, right? But now with Philly, he's saying they having to come to the realization that Philly maybe not be overrated. I know that word out there, right? But they may not have been as good as they thought. And or maybe they're getting outplayed and outcoached. How about them apples? That could be possible too, right? And that's what they're having to say, because all before that, again, most of them are just seeing the Hawks as the 14-20 team. The 14-20 team that was six games under 500 and 11th place in the Eastern Conference. That's all some of them are seeing still. They can't get over that. Let's go ahead and bring in our co-host of the show. He is, let me get back over here, because I'm just not noticing that he's on. There we go. So our co-host, a new writer for Dogcast.com. He's a former writer for Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, and he's also a contributor of ATL All Day via FanSided. His name is Jordan Jackson. Jordan, what is going on, man?
What's going on, sir? It's a lovely night in the ATL. All is right with the world as the Atlanta Hawks just completed one of the biggest comebacks in NBA playoff history. I heard two different reports on Twitter. One said fourth largest. The other said third largest. So I think we're just going to go with third largest since that's better. But regardless, man, it was a spectacular comeback.
Sir, and I've just been talking, you know, a little intro as far as just the game itself and some of the, you know, what's on the line as far as just, you know, perception out in the league and perception out in the news world, perception in regards to the fans and things of that nature, and the dynamics of we're about to see something really cool tomorrow night. And it hasn't happened a lot in Hawks history, you know. And the fact that we are on the verge of going to the Eastern Conference Finals in a 1 year after winning 20 games. That's another thing I didn't mention at the beginning of the show. This team is on the verge of going to the Eastern Conference Finals after a team that just won 20 games a year ago. A team that made a few moves in the offseason. Wasn't a lot of moves, but it was a few. And all of those moves have proven to be integral to our success this year, and the trust that, you know, the new regime has with the players that are on the roster, okay? Did I do that right as far as the pettiness? But anyway, 646-652-4479, we've come a long way is the point. And if you're not excited now, if you don't believe now, I mean, again, at the very beginning of the season or at the beginning of the second part of our season, Nate McMillan said believe, and now there is a very, very, very – a strong catchphrase now, believe Atlanta. The players believe they can win. They deserve to win. They know they can win. They're never out of a game. That's what Trey said. You know, they continue to fight. They could have laid down. They literally, I mean, it was not going well. They were getting destroyed. They were getting embarrassed. Like, you heard the crowd. They thought it was over until it wasn't. You know, so they know that they're in any game, and again, why not? Why can't you say the words Atlanta Hawks NBA champions? It's possible. No one's saying it's going to happen, but why not saying it's possible to happen? You're one of the four teams in the East left, you know, so why not? And you know we played against some of the teams in the West that are still left, and when you see these playoff games lately, you know we can really beat those teams too. So, again, it's always cool to speculate and everything. And you're always going to say one game at a time, but at a certain point that gets old. If you're, it says that you're not as confident as everybody else is about their team. And you keep saying that instead of saying, "No, we can win. We're going to be champions," right? Just like when people yell out the words MVP to somebody who's not the MVP, but you feel that he's going to be the MVP one day, right? It's the same thing. Why don't people say, "Oh, wait, hold your horses"? Why? That's a great point. How come everybody at State Farm Arena, they're shouting out MVP when Trey is shooting free throws? How come there isn't a whole other part of the crowd being like, "Hey, guys, don't say MVP yet. You're going to jinx it." That's stupid. You see what I'm saying? So it's the same thing when you're talking about the championship. At a certain point, that's the goal. And if you're still in the playoffs, you have a chance to win the championship. That's it. That's all. That's the only thing that matters. I don't understand why people are still hesitant about it and scared to talk it. Because the Chicago Bulls years ago wasn't scared to talk it. They had their whole little theme song coming out there intimidating people. Y'all know it. Down, 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 down. When you heard that, the game was over already for most people, right? And now, right? Everybody remembers that. So anyway, y'all, call in. Let's talk some Hawks. I see a couple of people on the New Pack City Facebook page. They're live. I know there's some people out there listening in different formats. So let's talk some Hawks. We got 40 minutes left, so let's do this. 616-652-4479. Jordan, what was the thing that screamed out at you the most last night's game?
Well, just the resiliency of this team, man. And we've seen it over and over again since March 1st and since Nate McMillan took over. And one of the main things about this team were is that we've been the number one four-quarter team in the NBA since Nate McMillan took over. And that's something that's just continued into this postseason. And, you know, even in some of the games where we didn't win, we still always made a run and always got back in the game. You know, sometimes, you know, when, and particularly I think it was game three, it was a situation where we had to fight so hard to come back that we couldn't quite get over the hump. But, you know, this team always makes a run. And, you know, I won't be too hard on the fans because I think the fans have been great throughout this. They've done a great job of supporting the Hawks on social media. State Farm Arena has been outstanding. You know, the national narrative has to stop that Atlanta doesn't have fans because, man, that place has been extremely loud. But one thing I was disappointed in during that game was that you saw people not only giving up on that game, which, you know, you should never give up on this team if you watch this team enough this year, but, you know, kind of understandable how people were down in the dumps when they were down 26 points. But
yeah,
to see people to say that the series was over and, oh, well, it's been a great year, we just can't do nothing with these guys, you know, and I'm like, even at that point, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, well, even if we don't win this game, there's still a game six in Atlanta, you know, that I expect us to win. So my message is, you know, learn a lesson from this. Finally learn that you cannot give up on this team. You cannot say that this team has lost until the final buzzer sounds because this team fights, fights, and fights. And I just want to give a shout-out to Lou Will, man. I mean, you know, Gwinnett County, Atlanta area zone. Man, that guy is phenomenal. He's one of the best six men in NBA history. And he just continued to come up clutch for the Hawks time after time after time. I know that this is at least the sixth or seventh game that he's had a major part in bringing us back and helping us win that we've been down in. It's the second game in the playoffs that this has happened. It happened against the Knicks. What was that, game two, game one, where we were down and he scored like seven straight points in the fourth quarter in that game. And it happened, you saw it last night. And so as I was watching it unfold, and Lou hit his first shot near the end of the third quarter, he hit another shot early in the fourth quarter, I just started yelling at my TV, shoot it, Lou. Unless you got unless they just double you and you got an open pass, shoot it. Because, you know what he's capable of. You know he's capable of heating up, but I knew that was our best chance to get back in that game. And lo and behold, man, I mean, he just kept making his moves, his patented drive to the left and fade, you know, taking him to the basket. He rattled in a three from the left wing. And, man, just got a big shout-out to Lou Williams, man. Obviously, a lot of players were big in this win, and it's not all Lou, but we do not win that basketball game without what Lou Williams did last night.
646-652-4479 on the New Pack City Facebook page. Now, I don't know how to pronounce it, actually. Is it Reza or is it Reza? Hussein says he hopes the game in this tomorrow night, we have a quick start. We're not missing, you know, easy shots, the bunnies and things of that nature for game six. And he says he's glad that the team came back the last two games. He wants to see us in control from wire to wire. Because remember, and I believe on the TNT broadcast, they mentioned this too, is that Philly, you know, it had an 18-point game in that game, too. So Philly has blown two leads, you know, against the Hawks. So, again, is that a point where I don't know, maybe Philly don't even think that they can beat us now. But, I got it right. Cool. I'm a pretty good person when it comes to linguistics. But anyway, the Hawks have proven time and time again, but now it's a matter of, can these teams beat the Hawks? And that's what I'm saying. I mean, until someone proves to me that you can beat this team in four games, you got to beat not four in a row, but four cumulatively, I just don't think it's going to happen. And this is the number one seed. Now, of course, everybody say, well, they're the number one seed, but they're not the best team because they're not the Brooklyn Nets. And that remains to be seen. We might find out. You know, but again, I don't know if they have enough to beat us on a regular basis. Yeah, they got KD and Harden is back. I don't know if they're getting Kyrie back or not, but they do have Joe Harris over there shooting the J pretty good. And they, you know, they got a rejuvenated Possum and Blake Griffin, who was just pretending not to be able to play over here in Detroit, but now apparently he can play all of a sudden, right? It remains to be seen. And if we happen to play the Bucks, where they got a two-time MVP over there, and Middleton, all-star. He's an all-star, right? And they got Drew Holiday, the point guard, the point god, I guess. You know, they paid him all the money. And they got Jeff Teague, too. But is that enough to beat our team? I just don't know. So it's going to be exciting to find out. What did you – well, okay, you actually kind of mentioned it, and I mentioned that at the very, very beginning in regards to some of the fans. But, you know, a lot of the prognosticators also, they probably saw that lead, and they probably was like, it's going to be Brooklyn versus Philadelphia 76ers at that point. Do you believe, Jordan, that at this point enough media has – had a chance to change their minds to not speak the craziness that we've heard over the last couple of months, now over these last couple of weeks of playoff games where the Hawks are still in the playoffs? The Hawks are on the verge of winning their eighth playoff game now. And, I mean, what do you think as far as that goes?
Well, first of all, I do just want to comment on your commenter from the New Pack City page, and I totally agree with them. I won't necessarily say that we have to lead this game wire to wire, but I'd like for us to have some leads in the first half. And even if it's a back-and-forth game, you know, I'd like it to stay within a certain number of points, because I do think, you know, that we're living very dangerously trying to come back from 18-plus points, you know, every game out there. So I definitely agree with the commenter there. We need to have a hot start. And we're due for a game where we actually make our outside shots. We haven't had a game where we made our outside shots since game one of the series. And so if we come out and hit our outside shots, no reason we shouldn't be advancing to the next round. As far as the media stuff goes, do I think enough of them have changed their stances? The answer is no, because enough of them would be all of them. You know what I mean? Because there's no reason for anyone to be sitting here hating on this team now or sitting here acting like this team is less than any of these other teams left. But I will say that a lot of them have. We're starting to see a lot of people that have actually watched the Hawks now that it's the playoffs, rather than just, you know, looking at SportsCenter highlights or whatever. You know, some of them, I don't even think we're looking at that, to be honest with you. Maybe reading the box score every now and then. But a lot of them that have actually watched it, they've changed their stances. I mean, there's so many, you know, national guys now that we're seeing give trade props. Saw one national writer last night talk about how it's a beautiful thing with the fact that Trae Young is, you know, not only not afraid of the big moment, he loves the playoff pressure. I mean, he said it. Trae said it himself. You know, it's fun, you know, and it's playoff, you know, atmosphere or whatever, but in the end of the day, for him, it's still just basketball. And even Mr. Ray Young said that, you know, it was spectacular. He's really proud of the guys, but he's seen his son, you know, do things like that many times over. You know what I mean? So I love the fact that even though this is, you know, Trae Young's first foray, he acts like he's been here. And so, you know, the narrative is starting to change. Obviously, I don't think it's changed enough because people didn't even vote him All-NBA. You know, I'm sorry, Kyrie Irving played in 54 games. You know what I mean? No way he should have been made it over Trae Young, just for one example. Bradley Beal averaged more points, but Trae averaged more assists. You know what I mean? Does so much more for his team, and we won more games than the Wizards did. So he shouldn't be over there over Trae Young either. So, yeah, I'm happy to see the narrative changing, but I still think, you know, we got a little bit of ways to go on that. And I will say, though, it did warm my heart to be listening to national CBS Sports Radio last night after hours with Amy Lawrence. And they were playing highlights of Steve Holman and Mike Conti, you know, on the national CBS, in which that's the way I've been listening to the games. Even last night, I watched the game on mute, and then I put the Odyssey app on so I could listen to Steve Holman. And, man, he was phenomenal, just taking us on that roller coaster ride, and it just warmed my heart to see his calls getting played on national sports radio.
So this is a quick update that should be interesting to everybody. It looks like it's going to be a game seven. The Milwaukee Bucks somehow or another have managed to, you know, kind of handle the Brooklyn Nets right now. Currently the score is 102-81, 4 minutes to go in the fourth. I don't know if that's enough time for them to score 2 points in a row. Might, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But, yeah, that series is going to go to a game seven. Didn't think that would happen, but, hey, there it is. So very interesting. 6-6-6-5-2-4-4-7-9. In regards to those accolades that you kind of mentioned, you know, defensive team, you know, Philly has three guys, but one of them is not Clint Capella somehow, even though he led the NBA in rebounding, and he's one of the main reasons the Hawks had the turnaround that they did, because they had a bona fide center who not just can only rebound, but actually can play post defense, who can actually block shots, you know, so that's a huge deal. And again, like you said, you know, Trae Young just came out and just finally said it. You know, it's like this is not the first time he said it, too. He said it earlier, about a month and a half ago, after the All-Star game and everything like that, to say, we noticed that people are dissing us like this. He basically said it, you know. So it's good he's stepping up and putting us in that limelight like that, because we deserve it as a team and as a city to see that. Michael in the New Pack City page says, got to make those easy shots at the rim to start. We started last three games missing bunnies at the rim. And one of the things I've been concerned about to an extent is those tips. Now, sometimes a tip is a tip. A tip is a tip when the ball is right there at the rim. A tip isn't a tip when you're trying to tip it back off the backboard, the bank shot it. That's not a tip. You need to go up and you need to do what one of our forecasts said, Mr. Torian Prince. You put your hands up, you grab the ball, you come down, get the rebound. That's what you need to do. Get the rebound and pass it back out and run the offense again sometimes instead of, you know, doing all the other crazy stuff. Lou says the Hawks can play better. That is the scary part. And that's and they've been mentioning that. That the Hawks, as of right now, have not had a quarter straight of playing good basketball yet in the playoffs, at least with this Philly team anyway. And that is scary, because really, if we had, this could be a possible sweep, just like the Knicks series could have been a possible sweep. But because we've had these bad starts, we get down so quickly, and sometimes it is hard to come back. We're giving Philly a little bit of daylight, so to speak. Like, you know, Philly might think they really are that good. On the New Pack City page, I just did air quotes. But if we ever get to the point where we start playing complete games, and maybe this is – and part of it is, of course, yeah, we are a young team, and this is all these guys' first playoff series. And even with Nate McMillan as the coach and these guys being confident, it's still them running through the gauntlet part of it, you know, and playing together as a team in a playoff scenario. Maybe that will come, that comfortability factor will come in the next round, possibly. We'll have to see. But, yeah, if we ever get to the point where we're really strong from start to finish, again, I don't see a team out here that can beat the Atlanta Hawks four games. That's what has to happen. You got to beat our whole team when the Hawks just have to beat a couple of players on the other team to win. And I'm a stand by that. I've been saying that for weeks, well, really months now. And I'm a hold to it. 646-652-4479. Let's check the lines real quick, make sure I'm not missing anybody. Jordan, with it being said that Brooklyn and the Bucks are going to get a game seven, do you have let's speculate that one way or the other, even if we win game six and or we go to game seven, we're going to win. Is there a team that you would prefer the Hawks to play than not?
Okay, first of all, though, let's get this straight. I don't even want to talk about a game seven right now, okay? We putting on ML King jerseys, playing on the ML King court. We're 11-1 in those jerseys, 2-0 in the playoffs. We need to send these guys packing tomorrow night. There's no more messing around. There's no more messing around with a game seven. Tomorrow night, Philly has to go. With that being said, is there a team I prefer to play? Yeah, it's Milwaukee. And the main reason why it's Milwaukee It's because our step former coach is right there, you know, on the team, Coach Bud. And so, you know, when you think back about it now, you have to realize the reason why Coach Bud left the Hawks is because he did not want to be part of a rebuild. So what better way, you know, to end the Eastern Conference portion of the playoffs would be to send Bud to the house, you know what I mean, with a team that he didn't want to coach because they were rebuilding. And also, you know, I've said it on the show before, the Nets are the only team that scares me a little bit just because Kevin Durant and James Harden are both considered to be top five, top ten players by pretty much everybody in this league, which means they're going to get, you know, their fair share of the calls. And, you know, you already got Embiid in this series getting pretty much every call. You got to deal with two of those guys, three if Kyrie was playing, which I don't know, he may be able to come back by that time as well, at some point during that series. We don't know yet. So, yeah, I prefer to play Milwaukee. But with that being said, sir, there's no way I'm going to sit here and say that there's any team in this league that we can't beat. I'm not going to go as far as to say for sure we're winning the championship yet, but I'm going to sit here and say I'm not going to say we're not winning the championship either. You know what I mean? And so... Yeah. You know, when we get to that point, sir, it's take whoever it comes, and I'd just, you know, be glad to see whichever team it is. But if I could pick, I just think the whole storyline with Coach Bud versus his former team would be quite fascinating.
646-652-4479 is the number. Let's check, make sure I got no calls. And let's see. We got an update, 102-87, 231 remaining. Oh, I don't know. Which one is – okay, that was a little bit later. It looks like, yeah, the Bucks are going to win that game. That game is pretty much over. So we'll be Milwaukee.
Both benches have been empty. So Milwaukee – I mean, the Nets took their starters out, and Milwaukee just emptied their bench. So, yeah, that game is over.
All right, cool. All right, so that'll definitely be a game seven. I know people don't want to jump ahead and everything, but, you know, I'm pretty confident and everything like that. For me, I would rather play the Nets only just for the principle of KD is on that team. KD is one of the greatest scorers. KD is a multi-champion and all that kind of good stuff. You got Harden on the team. Whether or not he is healthy or not remains to be seen by the time we might get to play him or not. I would rather play who everybody thinks is the best, because it's always better to beat the best. Yes, if we were to beat them, if we were not to have gotten a chance to beat them and we play Milwaukee and everything and we end up winning, and at the end of the day, it's a matter of you winning the championship. But I always look at the side of, well, the asterisk people, you know. And, yeah, it don't matter what they say because there's no such thing as an asterisk at the end of the day. But I'd rather it be to say no excuses left unturned as far as that goes. And, you know, because everybody believes it's going to be the Nets anyway. That's what they've been saying since the beginning of the season, since they put that team together. Especially after Steve Nash is hugging KD, like a particular movie that I'm not going to mention on air. 646-652-4479 is the number. One of the cool things about this season, too, is you mentioned a little bit Steve Holman's calls of the games to the playoffs. It's only been a few years since we've been out in the playoffs. But it's so refreshing and so exciting to hear Steve Holman, who is the fan of the Atlanta Hawks, calling these playoff games and getting to see these games not only as a broadcaster but also as a fan. So, and we all know how gangster Steve is. So when the Hawks were getting obliterated by 26 points, I didn't listen to his broadcast. I was watching the game on whatever it was, TNT. But I can imagine what he was saying, missing the easy shot, you know, getting outplayed, just all the crazy stuff that was happening up until the point we were starting to come back. And, of course, I can imagine his excitement as we were coming back, as we're hitting big shots. John Collins hitting that 1-3, the block John Collins had. You know, Gallo with his fadeaways. Lou, of course, killing it. You know, I can imagine how many wing references he kept must have come up with during that time. So that's really what it's all about right there as well, with the community and as tight-knit as some of us are, to say that we have that element here that we don't – that other teams I don't really think have. I mean, if you've ever listened to either radio or TV of some of the other teams, either on purpose or by accident, you know how fortunate we are to have who we have. Because some of those guys are, you already know about Charlotte, right? Have you ever listened to a Cleveland Cavaliers broadcast, okay? it's pretty bad. It's terrible. It's frightening even. Miami Heat, I know a lot of y'all for years got to see them for a little bit because the Heat was doing so well, but they weren't the greatest guys in the world. So we have to be really, like, excited about that we have an opportunity to see this team go into another round and hearing Steve call a possible finals. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that right there is going to be the ultimate right there. And, again, I'm going to say it. Again, you can only perpetuate the success by talking about it. You know, again, slowing the roll, people, or, you know, jinxing. I don't believe in any of that. Because the only thing that can actually affect anything are the players on the court. I can't do nothing. You see what I'm saying? But the players on the court, they can handle all of that. The coach on the court, he can handle all of that. So, Jordan, actually, I did want to ask you a question since you're here now. 646-652-4479, make sure we don't have a caller. Jordan, how big do you think it was to see they bench Red Mamba and Bogey last night?
I thought it was big because it shows you that he is going to do whatever it takes to win that particular ball game. And, you know, with the Atlanta Hawks, we're blessed to have enough talent that we don't just have to rely on five guys or six guys all the time, you know, in a big moment. I thought it was big, the fact that he went with the Trey Lue lineup in the fourth quarter. Obviously, you couldn't take Lue off the floor with what he was doing, but, you know, a lot of coaches would have done it anyway just for the simple fact that that lineup is, you know, considered to be not a good defensive lineup. But yet and still, the Hawks got stops on five of the last seven trips down the floor. So that lineup did very well. For them not to be a defensive lineup. So I just think it was big. I give credit to Nate because, you know, everything pretty much we've asked for, he's done. We asked him to play Trey more minutes after what happened in the game we lost against New York. He delivered. We said that he didn't need to play all five bench guys at one time. He's changed that, and you see him start staggering his lineups. After the two losses in a row against Philadelphia, we said that he needed to change his starting lineup. Next thing you know, Solomon Hill is out the starting lineup and Kevin Herter is starting. And you've even seen him go with the big man lineup with Gallo at small four. So I just give Nate all the credit in the world for being flexible, for making adjustments and not being stubborn like a coach we could possibly play next round was when he was here, and just deciding to go down with the ship and doing the same things, you know, that got us there at all times and not making it.
646-652-4479, doing the same thing over and over again without changing is the definition of insanity, they say, right? And that's what we were used to going 14 and 20. And it was just disconcerting at a certain point when, and again, we are not experts here. But a lot of us have played basketball, and again, for me, and y'all know it, if y'all been listening to my show, watching my videos and things of that nature over the years, some stuff is obvious, like, you know there's no plan. You just know it. And then when the players start saying it themselves, you really know it. In press conferences during the season, that wasn't cool to me to hear that. So by the numbers, Kevin Herter started, played 27 minutes, didn't score a bucket. John Collins played 36 minutes. He had his 19-11 game with that huge block. He had two blocks, by the way. Clint played 37 minutes. He had 6 points. He only had 8 rebounds. That's definitely non-Clint-like. He did have 2 steals. Bogey played 21 minutes, had 6 points, but we know he was benched. Trey played 40 minutes and had his 39. A lot of that was his free throws, of course, where he doesn't miss. He was 2 for 6 at 3. He did have 7 assists. He had 3 steals as well. Then off the bench, of course, Gallo had 30 minutes played. His 16 points were very important. Lue, 22 minutes, his 15 points. And, of course, Big O had 6 points. He also had 5 rebounds. He also had a steal. He also had a block, you know, in his 8 minutes. Solo did score 2 points. Okay, he in his 12 minutes out there, you know. You got to play one extra player, though, because of the bench and two players being benched, so you had to play him a little bit just for the principle. But the thing of it is that every time someone plays, for the most part, they do contribute. Even Tony Snell, he only played 2 minutes. He did have a steal in the game. He didn't score, but he did have a steal. So there you go. So that's important. I just wanted to bring the numbers in there real quick. That's always a big deal to kind of roll through that real quick just to kind of see. I remember one stat in the news with that, how could the Hawks have a player on their team with a minus 23 and not score, and the other team had a player in Embiid who was over like plus 27, whatever craziness, and the Hawks win and Philly would lose that game. And that's how amazing that game ended up being. And if you listen to the TNT broadcast as how they were kind of bringing in the description of the game, their whole thing was, man, Philly must have won this game. Chuck is like, yeah, why are we even doing these highlights? There's no way Philly lost this game. And they did that all the way through from 26 all the way down to the Philadelphia 76ers have lost the lead, and they've lost the game. And they kept putting up the picture of Embiid, you know, just looking downtrodden and shaking his head and all that. But, again, for me, with Philly and their quandary right now, and I don't know how they even fixed it. I don't think it's fixable, truthfully, because they're tied into that one player who can't shoot. For $100 million-plus dollars, they value him that high to not be a factor again in the playoffs. And this time, I mentioned this on the call with my co-host Jordan Jackson earlier today in prep, was that I've never noticed it before all these years. But this time, seeing them play this much over and over again, to see John Collins play so much back of Ben Simmons to where he's below the free throw line almost, daring Simmons to do something. Like, he wouldn't even dribble drive. He wouldn't make a move to even come in 15 feet because he just was not going to shoot the ball. To be that offensive deficient as a guard, I don't care if he's 6'10", you're a guard. That's your position. You handle the ball as much as anybody on the court. For you to be that person to play 4-on-5, that's bad. And the fact that you could do a hack of Simmons is even worse. You know, again, and Skip on Undisputed said this. Skip, you know, I can't do a good Skip right now. But he mentioned it. Like, he's the first guard ever in the playoffs to miss 10 free throws. Those 10 points win them that game. We came all the way back for nothing, basically, if he had hit 5 free throws, basically, right? And he couldn't do it. And it's like, it's not, people boo, just like we did with Shaq, just like you did with other people, right? You can boo all you want to, but if they can't hit the shot, it's a strategy. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? And it works. Like, that's the crazy thing. Those 10 free throws worked. We would have not maybe won that game, right? So, again, this is, I don't know what Philly's going to do. I don't know what they could do to possibly hold us off tomorrow night. I don't believe they're going to be able to win tomorrow night on our home turf. We've only lost one game in the playoffs so far. Oh, wait, two games. Is it two games at home so far in the playoffs? I believe it's two. Have we only lost two games at home so far in the playoffs?
Just one. Just one.
Are you sure? Oh, no, that's right.
At home?
Right. That was our first home game. That's right. That was our first home loss. So we've only lost one home game after winning all those games in a row. So we still have a strong home court advantage. So I'm very, very, very confident in what's going to happen tomorrow night. I just don't think that Philly has it within them to try to do anything to overcome what we got going on. Because eventually Bogey is going to blow up. Bogey is going to have that game where he is not going to miss any shots. You know, he might, again, we always joke about it, but every night he looks like he's going to go for 50, but then he's gone ice cold. But I think tomorrow night is going to be special because they know it's a closeout game. Clint, I think, is going to be, you know, ripping and roaring to get back out there and slow and be down. I have let him go 8 for 8, you know, from the field all of a sudden. I believe that as well. I think we need to be real hyped and real excited about tomorrow. I'm hoping State Farm Arena is packed and is loud. I mean, I heard that Utah crowd Can Atlanta get that loud? Of course we can. Will we? Let's see. You know, we have a little, let's have some competition. Who can be the loudest? You know?
The Atlanta crowd was very loud in game four in Atlanta. In fact, on the radio and the television broadcast, you could hear how loud the crowd was in game four. It's going to be even more so in this closeout opportunity in game six. The main thing I see that we need to adjust on is that double screen play that they're running for Curry. It was just too many times where he came off of that. He just had a wide open look. He got to get either the big man has got to come up and hedge that and give the guard a chance to get back, or they got to trap that off the bat or something. You cannot allow him to come off of that open. If we adjust to that and shooters make shots, I think the Hawks are winning that ball game, sir, and sending Philly to the house. And I do think that's what will happen. I want to get back on John Collins, who you mentioned. He was phenomenal down the stretch in that game. And as I was joining the show, I heard you talking about, you know, the way we would cut that lead down. His bank shot three was actually the shot that cut the lead to single digits, because we were down by 11, and his bank shot three cut it to 9. That was a huge play in the game. His block was a huge play in the game, in which he blocked Tobias Harris and the ball went off of Harris, so we were also able to get the possession. Also, he had another play in which he got the ball inside and threw a nice little shovel pass to Clint Capella for a dunk. So those three plays by John Collins were huge down the stretch of that ball game. You also mentioned Gallo. The turnaround fadeaway he hit over Curry was a huge shot. It was actually the last field goal the Hawks made before finishing it off with free throws. We already mentioned loose plays, but Trey also had three huge baskets down the stretch as well, two which he blew straight to the rim, one by the all-world defender, Ben Simmons, and another where he shook his guy and did like a sidestep to the left and knocked out a mid-range jumper. That was another big shot in that ball game. But I just want to read something real quick, and it's by Lou Williams. Just a second to pull it back up on my screen here. He was talking about Trae Young when asked about him after the game. Here's what Lou had to say. He's a monster. This dude is a monster. It'll be one of those things where I look back when he's a Hall of Famer. He's an established superstar in this league, and I can say I was a part of that process, and I worked with this gentleman. Seeing Trae up close to the things he's able to accomplish and the things he's able to go out on the floor and do night in and night out at such a young age with the poise that he has, with the swag that he has, the confidence he has in his abilities, I'm proud to be a part of it. He listens to me, and I try to help him as much as I can with little tidbits here and there, but just to see him night in and night out, I'm extremely happy for him. I'm proud of him, and I'm happy to call him my teammate. I just thought that was a very, very powerful statement from Lou Williams about, you know, the opportunity to work with Trae Young.
646-652-4479. Definitely words to remember down the road for sure. And again, that statement is how they're thinking right now. That's how confident this team is, and that confidence goes a long way. Real quick, I'm going to put on the screen for the New Pack City folks. We were online last night, and Miss D on Twitter, Pay the Man on Twitter. I forget what the actual initial tweet was.
That's the
show
John Collins, by the way.
Say again?
I said the Pay the Man is in reference to John Collins on her profile,
right,
by the way.
Yeah. But the reference picture to my to her question, I'm showing the screen on there. Are they still winning? And you know whose picture that is. I'm not going to say it out loud, but if you're on New Pack City, you get to see the picture on my phone. Y'all know who I'm talking about. So, yeah, they're still winning. They're still winning. So we did Jordan did mention something. Actually, I was going to mention it. If y'all remember my Sunday Night Basketball videos about being able to communicate and fighting through screens is very important. You know, to not fight through a screen usually inevitably gives somebody a free shot almost, you know. And that's one thing that is missing from not having Hunter or Cam out there possibly, to be able to shorten that gap you know, and if anything, not even that, just their long arms being able to put something in, you know, as far as a deterrent from being able to shoot a wide open shot as well. However, defensive intensity by just moving your feet can do the same thing, and that's what they did do a better job of in that second half. And so in combination with hitting their shot, if they could just do that, you see what I'm saying? Because, again, Ben Simmons is not the one driving into the paint or anything. They're just hitting wide open shots with ball movement. And for whatever reason, sometimes they stop doing that. And Doc Rivers actually said that the other night and got mad about it, started cussing. But some of that was defense, but some of that was just them, you know. Oh, and he mentioned the word hero ball, too. A lot of one-on-one stuff going on out there. And no one forces you to play hero ball, do they? I don't think so. But tomorrow night, again, this is going to be an amazing night, especially for the fact that we're at home. Everybody is going to be in Atlanta is going to be on the court as far as the Atlanta celebrities and stuff. So that'll be cool to see again. And, you know, if they win, I mean, then we get to say, you know, first of all, you know, TNT is going to be gone fishing. You know, but then we get to see who is going to win game seven on the other side, and we have that extra little bit of time to rest. So that's actually even going to be better. Let's see if we got any more time for any more calls, just in case. All right, so no. So we got about 3 minutes left. So, Jordan, any last thoughts in regards to this series, how it's gone, where it's going, the future? Oh, wait, let's throw something else out there. Luka is trying to fire the whole Dallas Maverick organization. Today was kind of crazy looking. So just have to throw that out there real quick. Just my one Luka reference. But go ahead, Jordan. What do you think about the rest of this series going into tomorrow? Got about 3 minutes left.
I'm expecting the Hawks to handle business, man. I'm expecting them to shoot the ball better at home than they shot the ball the last couple games. And I'm expecting us to send Philadelphia packing. I don't think it's going to be easy or blow out or anything like that. But I think that once they see that the Hawks are just not going to wilt, that they'll eventually just go ahead and, you know, realize it's over. And the Hawks will take them out. And that's good because it gives us a little bit of chance to rest while Milwaukee and Brooklyn are playing a game seven before we get ready for our next opponent in the playoffs, man. And I just can't say enough about this team, man. I just love this ball club. It's my favorite Hawks team ever seen. All due respect to the great Dominique Wilkins, who we had on our show. But, man, this team is something special, and it's only the beginning. And one other thing I did want to mention about Cam Reddish, I saw video, and I remember when we played the Nets earlier in the season, that Cam did do a very good job against Kevin Durant, but I didn't realize that he actually knocked the ball away from Kevin Durant as many times as he did. I mean, a few times he just flat out picked Durant's pocket, and other times that he just knocked the ball away to where Durant had to go back and get the ball and restart his dribble. I just watched a video on that earlier today. And so, and another thing that the Twitter world has been buzzing about, seeing Cam Reddish out there warming up on the court, he looks like he's grown a couple of inches since he has been on the court. And so that's another thing to look out, man. And, you know, I spoke to on Twitter to Rashard Phillips, the draft Yoda, big-time Hawks advocate, a guy who's, you know, wanted Trae Young in Atlanta before it happened and said it would happen, and it actually happened. And I just told him he has a relationship with Cam Reddish as well. And I just told him, man, next time he talks to Cam, you know, just to let him know that, you know, we all still believe in him. We are pulling for him, and we know that he's going to be a big part of what we're about to do going forward. So it would be even added – an added bonus if he could get out there, if he could get cleared and get out there and play a few minutes. But, yeah, man, I'm just loving this team, and I'm just urging everyone who is going to be at State Farm Arena to come out, scream till you lose your voice, and cheer these Hawks on to a victory and get them on to the conference finals.
Appreciate that. We got about 50 seconds left. Real quick, Kawhi Leonard a couple of years ago said, we're going to make the adjustment of putting me on Giannis. And that's when your best player stops the other player. You got to be able to do that. And we got players who are going to be worried to do that to the biggest stars in the NBA real soon. Thank you all for listening. That's going to do it for tonight. Make sure y'all listen to the show on Amazon Music. Jordan, we might not be able to do the real quick. But y'all listen to us going into this year. We have some new interviews coming up. I'm very excited about that. Until next time, this is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio. This is Don. Y'all take care.
Thank you.